It's the new year, it's a new show, and it's the first episode of the new year. Thank you so much for joining us. 2020 sucked. Hopefully 2021 is going to be better. As it's the first episode of the new year, I have got a belter for you. Today I am joined by Mike Liamelli. Mike is a life purpose expert and brand strategist, but also Mike is an amazing storyteller. His stories on this show was absolutely funny, amazing, and it's just so heartwarming. He goes into detail about how he met his husband and how he actually proposed to his husband. The story, it's great. It's the sort of story that should be made into a Hollywood movie. And if it hasn't been picked up in a Hollywood film, I'd be incredibly surprised. As I mentioned before, Mike's a life purpose expert and brand strategist. And he goes into a little bit of detail about how he does that and what the fundamentals of what that involves. And he uses me as a guinea pig. So guys, if you're out there thinking, I don't know what to do in my life, I don't know how to get there, listen to the end of this show, or towards the end, because you're going to get your mind blown, because he goes into the little bit of detail of what he does. So if you want a little bit more information, click the link below. His website, his Instagram, and his Facebook links are below. He's going to help you out. He'll help you out if you're struggling right now. So guys, hope you enjoy it. So also, I have just recently started a coffee page, and this has really been made to help the show get better. A small donation does an absolute amazing thing. It's only $2 to $3, and any donation is basically going to be funneled back into the show to make it better. I really appreciate all you guys that are listening, and if you like all the content I've been putting out there, and you're an avid listener, and you want to see the show get better, please donate. I really do appreciate it. You don't need to if you don't want to. It's there, but it's there to help the show. So anyone who supports the page will get free gifts. You will be getting new merch, because a new merch line is being created. So anyone who supports the show will be, depending on obviously the size of the donation, will be offered obviously t-shirts, mouse pads, hoodies. Obviously not with my face on it, because I don't want to scare you away, but with the logo instead. So there you go, guys. So if you want to donate, please click the link below in the description. I really do appreciate it. Now, I really do appreciate all you guys' support over the past year. 2020 was a bit shit, but I decided to use that and build something that I'm really passionate about. I love doing this show, and I love making content for you guys, and I really hope you guys appreciate it. And I hope you guys have seen that I'm improving. It's still early days, but I want to make this show into something special. And without your help and really good encouragement from the past year, I wouldn't have been where I am today. So guys, thank you so much for staying with me. So without me rabbiting on too much, I'm going to end up crying now. Please welcome Mike Liamelli. And we're live. Mike, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Not bad. How's things over in the US at the minute?
They're good. A little bit crazy over here, right? So maybe better since yesterday. So we had the inauguration yesterday, and Biden is officially our president now.
No, I was going to say this is the first episode of the new year. So that's the new episode. So there's a lot to catch up on. But how are you feeling about the new president? Did you vote for him, or were you a Trump fan?
No, I voted for Biden. So, relieved, I guess, is the feeling. It feels like the election was months long because some people didn't believe the outcome. So that, you know, got a little bit scary and a little bit crazy over here.
That was a bit mental, wasn't it? Especially because it took about 4 months to really get to the actual inauguration, which is ridiculous. And then you've got Trump getting involved, saying, oh, I want a recount. And everyone's going, shut up, you're being a sore loser, you bell end. Stop it. Just fuck off now. We've had enough of you. Do one.
So yeah, I mean, the inauguration usually is like around January 20th, but there's usually no contesting it. So it does actually take that long. It's just, you know, you've got these 3 months to transition. So usually the former president kind of gives information and gives codes and all this stuff so that the new president has time to get up to speed. And that wasn't the case here. So Biden is a little bit behind schedule because he didn't get everything he's supposed to.
I saw a video when Biden was in the office, and it says he received a letter from Donald Trump, and he said he doesn't want to speak about it until he speaks to him himself. And all he said, it was generous. And I'm like, Okay, that's a bit of like a broad. I bet it was a really shit letter. You can tell Trump, he's just going to give him, I fucking hate you, Biden.
It's likely somebody else wrote it and it's just a generic letter, like some of his videos recently, but you know, whatever. It happened, it's over. That's the positive part.
And let's hope nobody storms a Capitol building anytime soon as well.
Exactly.
I was speaking to someone else about this, and it actually makes it's good that it actually happens over in the US as well, because obviously the UK is just, it's been a shower of shit over here as well. And it just seems as if like the US just went, yep, the whole world's got to shit. It can't get any worse than the US is going, yep, hold my beer. Okay. Yep. Make it worse, you know? You always have to upstage everyone. You always have to upstage everyone, you guys, don't you?
Oh, yeah, that's the American way. We just want to do it bigger.
That's it. Bigger, better, faster, stronger. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Go for it. But, so, Mike, I wanted to get you on the show, actually, because when you told me about, we have a pre-interview before we got on the show, and you went through and a little bit of, just slightly, of obviously your story that you've got. So I want to get into that. I want to really hear it because I think my listeners are going to love this story, to be fair, because it's one of those like kind of, it's got plot twists, it's got turns, it's got happy endings, it's got crap starts. And if this is not made into a Hollywood movie, Mike, I am going to be devastated.
Well, you joke, but actually someone reached out to write a play about this story. So, this was like 6 years ago. So I haven't heard anything since, but I did sign, you know, something saying I would talk to them about a play.
Wow. See, it's still in the cards. They might just be.
We'll see one day.
They might just be busy, you know, 6 years later. I'll remember I talked to you about that last 6 years ago. Oh yeah, you ignorant bastard. You know, he'd come back to me on that one. So let's get into this, mate. Let's get into the backstory. Let's get into it. Do a bit about yourself, and then I'll leave it to yourself to kind of describe the ins and outs of it, and we can just chat about it all the way through, sort of thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, sure.
Yeah, you had a little bit of a scare back in the day, didn't you?
I did. So, you know, I was really fortunate. Starting at age 22, I started a PR agency, and it was pretty successful. I worked with some celebrities and tech people and all types of cool people. And then I specialized in healthcare reform. And one day I woke up and I was vomiting blood. And it was really scary. Like, just vomiting blood. It didn't stop for about 2 months. So for 2 months straight, I was vomiting blood every day. I went to the emergency room. I went to a bunch of doctors. I'm trying to figure out what is wrong with me.
Did it take you 2 months before you went to the doctors?
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, I was like, going to say, holy shit, Mike. What's going on?
It just took 2 months for the blood to stop. But, you know, I remember 4th of July, I spent in the emergency room because I remember the date. And I spent overnight and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. Nobody knew what was wrong with me. And, you know, I couldn't work. I actually went to work one day and I shit my pants at work. So like, I just had an accident in the middle of work. True story.
I should laugh at this. Really
no, it's a true story. And, you know, it was a really interesting moment because I went into the bathroom and I tried to make it. I didn't make it. So I kind of locked the door and I just sat there for like, you know, stood there. I didn't want to sit for, you know, 5 minutes. And I just thought, what the hell do I do now? Like, what do? I just shit my pants. And I didn't even have my phone on me. So I finally looked myself in the mirror and said, you know what? You can do this. You're going to clean yourself off. You're going to sneak out and get your phone. And so I went out, I got my phone, I snuck back in.
I could just imagine it just going to be like Mission Impossible.
Oh yeah, it was like, right, because I didn't want anyone to see me. Like, I've got shit on my pants right now.
Ducking,
I didn't want anyone
leopard
to see
crawling
this.
Across the floor to your desk.
Oh yeah, as you know, discreet as possible. So anyway, I get my phone. I text the office manager. I said, "Can you put an out of order sign up?" And I texted a friend and said, "You know, pack up my stuff and buy me a pair of shorts. I'm getting out of here." So I called a cab. I snuck out the back door and I left. And, you know, I know we laugh about it now, but at the time it was really scary. And I thought, like, something is really, really wrong with me. And so in the midst of this, I started going to, you know, acupuncture and reflexology and Reiki and all these type of things, because I would try anything. I was like, I think I'm going to die. I got to try anything. And while I'm doing this, my roommate was a medical professional. And so I had two roommates at the time. One was my older sister's friend and she had a boyfriend. So she spent half the week at his house. And the other one was a guy I knew from college. And so this guy, he was a medical professional. He started kind of driving me to my appointments because I couldn't drive. He started really taking care of me. And somewhere in these 2 months, I thought, shit, I feel something different. doesn't feel sexual, doesn't even feel romantic, but something feels different. And I think if I didn't think I was going to die, I probably wouldn't have done anything. But I thought, I can die tomorrow. So I just said, you know, I know this is weird. I don't know how you're going to take this, but I feel like something is happening here. And that started about 2 or 3 months of conversations of kind of like, is this something? Do we feel something? And that ended up being about 2 years of navigating a relationship where we still dated women, but because I should clarify, we had never been interested in consciously or never been with a man before this. And so we, you know, still dated women, but we had a relationship for about 2 years until we decided, you know, this is real. We moved in just the two of us. 9 years later, we are married. We've been married for 3 years now.
Oh, congratulations.
And so yeah, kind of a crazy story.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So when you were with your roommate, what, because obviously during this time, this all happened really, really quick, didn't it? This must have happened like, God, is in the space of what, 6 months sort of thing from start to finish?
Sure. So, I mean, depends what you mean, but I was sick for probably 3 or 4 months. And then, you know, I started getting better and I ended up leaving my job. So that was a whole process for a whole year. I gave a year's notice at work. I never recommend doing that. So it was a hellish year. But, you know, I was an owner of this company. So I thought, I got to give them notice. I got to, you know, do this right. Yeah. And then it gave me time to figure out what the hell I was going to do. Cause I didn't have a plan. I just thought I got to leave this job and do something. So I went to nutrition school. I went to herbalism school. I did a whole bunch of stuff, but you know, Garrett and I, we really, you know, I feel like today we're still navigating our relationship, but it probably took us about, I'd say 6 to 8 months to kind of feel like we were serious and also to figure out the intimacy side, you know, like I remember there was a time where kissing that felt too weird or too different. So it was maybe just hugging, you know, and you know, maybe we'd like watch a little porn and figure out does this feel good? Does this feel comfortable? And what's really beautiful about that is now our basis for our relationship has such good communication. So I feel like you have to be vulnerable and just put everything you're feeling on the table to make that work.
Yeah. And I can imagine that probably makes the, as you mentioned, the relationship so much stronger than it was before. You know, and it was something similar to me with obviously the current girlfriend that I've got in a minute is that we started chatting in lockdown. We're all shut down. And we obviously, I think we went on 2 dates and then from there we couldn't see each other. So all we did for about 3 months was like kind of video chat. And then there wasn't any like kind of physical there. It was all emotional. And it was similar. I would say it wasn't as like similar to yourself, but it was in that sort of ballpark. So we got to know each other a lot better. And then I was literally on the video chat on FaceTime for about 8 hours a night with her.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Oh yeah, mostly every day, and that was for like 2 months. And then obviously I've been seeing her ever since, sort of thing. You know, we're not married at the minute. I'm not going to say yet because she might be listening to this. So if she has, we'll talk about it after this, honey. Yeah, and you know what I mean. But and that I can really relate to that sort of side of stuff. Getting to know someone so on an emotional level like that, it makes the relationship so much stronger. And it seems as if you can get through anything, really, because you're so, the communication's there. You know how to talk to each other and you don't feel scared to talk to each other either, which is, I think it's key to a relationship, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, you mentioned get through everything. I told you I would tell you my engagement story. So.
Oh, go on to this. Let's get to this.
Are you ready for this? It's a story. It's definitely like a 10, 15 minute story, but you know, so the thing is, even though we were navigating our relationship and at the time I didn't know how it was going to work, I knew 6 months in that I wanted to marry him. I just knew like, this is the guy I want to marry.
What kind of made you kind of have that sort of like kind of epiphany moment?
Oh, you know, I mean, it's hard to say if it was just one moment, but Garrett is like, so first of all, I should say this, almost everyone who's ever met him is in love with him. So,
oh, really?
You know, yes. Oh yeah. He
both sexes, guys and girls.
Both, especially women. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean,
Do you just hate people like that?
I mean,
bitch.
He's very good looking and he's like actually a really nice guy. Like he's just so, he has this amazing ability to make you feel like he agrees with you. If two people came to him fighting, both would walk away thinking that he agreed with both of them. Like he's just very kind and mild mannered and really, really interesting person. So you know, I think he's just such a nice guy. He's a medical professional, actually. He you know, does a lot of work to help patients with diabetes. You know, that's a real passion for his, especially, you know, marginalized, you know, low income patients is, who he specialized in working with. And I just had never met anyone as kind and nice and supportive. I feel like I could, like, I think I'm a little bit of a crazy person. I'm doing all types of crazy things. He never would judge me for anything. He'd be always like, yeah, that's interesting, but I can see why you would do that. And okay. So I just never met anyone like that. And I feel like, actually, I have a story for you. Why? I know why I fell in love with him. So I went to a party once, and he was on residency at the time. And it was midnight at this party, and I was, it was out in the section of Boston that's notoriously bad for parking. So there's no parking whatsoever here. Right. And I'm at this party, and I don't drive, actually. I don't have a car. And it was snowing. It was a horrible night. It was a Christmas party. And I looked over in the corner at midnight, and I saw him in his scrubs sitting there. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you had to leave work at midnight, drive across the city, try to find parking in the snow. Why are you at this party? And he said, because I just wanted to sit here, and I love watching you tell stories. Like, you are so animated. You are so in it. And I just love, and he said, I love watching you tell stories. And I knew that you would have to take public transportation home, and that would be 30 minutes I couldn't get to see you.
Oh, that's makes just, you, that's the sweetest thing ever. I can't lie to you. That's that hits you right in the feels, that does, doesn't
right?
it?
Right? Right? So, I mean, how could I not want to marry him? So, 6 months into our relationship, I knew I wanted to propose. And I knew I wanted to propose on a balcony in the Amalfi Coast in Italy. Because, wow. You know, I spent the summer there, and it was just such a beautiful place. I knew the exact balcony, and he had never been to Europe. And I thought, well, this is it. Like, I got to take him there. So, I run my own business. I thought, there's no way in hell I can afford this and hide it from him, right? Like, how am I going to pretend I'm not stressed about money while I'm trying to plan this thing? And so it took me 4 years. We were together for 4 years when I proposed. And I reached out to him one day, and I said, hey, Garrett, can you take off a week of work? And he's like, yeah, sure. Why? And I said, oh, it's nothing big. I just think we should do something. So it was in 4 months from that day. And so he takes off the week of work, and I bought the tickets. Now, I couldn't afford anything else, but I bought the plane tickets. I said, that's good enough. And so I said, 4 months to find the money to buy him a watch and buy hotels and all this stuff. And so anyway, I wanted to ask for his parents' blessing. And his parents are divorced, and they don't, you know, interact a lot. And I thought, well, I want to get everyone together and ask for their blessing. And I still want to be a surprise. So I flew down to Philadelphia to see his ex-girlfriend, who I wanted her to be part of it.
Okay.
Because they dated for 6 years. I felt like I had to include her. Wow. So, you know, we're still friends, and she drove me to their parents' hometown, and I asked for everyone's blessing. But the thing is, I knew Garrett was going to check flight tracker and figure out, like, oh, he wants to pick me up at the airport. And I was lying. I was pretending I was at some yoga retreat in Syracuse. I wasn't in, you know, Pennsylvania. So he's like, why, you know, it says you're in the air right now. Why are you at an airport? It's like, I don't know. Flight tracker must be wrong. Can't you hear I'm in the airport? Totally lied my way out of it. So anyway, I got their blessing. I, you know, now the day comes and we're ready to leave for Italy. And by the way, the week of, every person I know was bringing up Italy in front of me. Like, every person, oh, I was like, shut up. Just like, stop.
Yeah, stop.
And then
it,
they would realize and get super awkward. And I was like, this is even worse. Like, he's just going to know by now. And so the day came, and he said, you know, Mike, like, first of all, am I going to need my passport? And I was kind of like, like, I don't want to tell him he needs his passport. And he's like, because I need it for work. Now, nobody in their life ever needs their passport, except he was teaching a class at a university and needed it for tax reasons the very day we were leaving.
Oh, you're joking.
You're kidding me. So you're going to have it on you. I can't get that passport off of you. So he comes home. He's like, all right. So I wouldn't tell him anything. I wouldn't tell him if we were flying or driving. I wouldn't tell him where we were going. Unfortunately, it wasn't that warm in Italy that week. So I said, we're not going far. Just pack like you would around here. Like, we're not, you know, said, but don't put knives in your, you know, carry on, because maybe we're flying. So he said, all right, the one thing you have to tell me is, will I need my passport? Because I don't want to bring it and then lose it. And I thought, shit, Mike, you just got to commit. You've just got to make a plan. So I said, you know what? You don't need it. You don't need it. Like, put it away. And I said, why don't you go stop packing the car? So he goes downstairs, and I just sprint into the bedroom, like, find that passport, zip it up in my bag. He's running up the stairs. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I just had to pee. Like, let's go. He's like, oh, no, not that car. I meant the Uber I ordered. So we get in an Uber, and we go to the airport. Now, I am fucking crazy. Like, I have planned this thing to a T. So I knew in Boston, if you get dropped off at Terminal E, that's international. He's going to know we're going international. I couldn't have done that. So I'm studying the blueprint of the airport. And I know if you get dropped off at C, there's a passageway to E, and C is where JetBlue is. And we always fly JetBlue. So I thought this is perfect. So the dedication
to you right now, Mike, is amazing.
You don't even know. This story takes some turns. So we get out, we get to the kiosk, and I'm like, oh, shit. And he's like, what? What'd you forget? And I was like, can you hold this? And I gave him his passport. And he's like, I don't understand. Why would you bring your passport? You told me not to bring mine. Wait, this is my passport. I'm confused. I said, yeah. Can you hold this? And I gave him 3 books on Rome. And he's like, I don't understand what's going on. I said, when you get up tomorrow morning, you'll be in Rome. We're getting on a plane to Rome tonight. When you get up, he's like, I don't understand. And I was like, you know, let's go. We're getting on a plane. So we walk over, and now his mom is the worst liar in the world. So I hope she's not listening to this. She's a terrible liar. And I called her beforehand. I said, listen, Cheryl, you're going to have to be really good at lying because Garrett's going to call you and tell you we're going to Italy. You have to pretend you knew about that, but not that we're getting engaged. So like, you've got to be able to space this one out. And so he called her, they talked, we get on the plane. And I said, listen, Garrett, I've lived in Italy. We can do the local thing. We can do the touristy thing. This is your trip. You plan the trip, whatever you want to do. The only rule is halfway through, we're going to the Amalfi Coast. So we'll spend half the week in Rome, half the week in the Amalfi Coast. So he said, okay. So we get to Rome, and I knew I couldn't propose right away because, you know, he was expecting it at this point, and he was so overwhelmed. Like, I had to fake him out. So we get there. He's planned the trip. It's supposed to rain every single day there. It didn't. It was beautiful. It was sunny. I said, okay, someone's looking out for me. This is wonderful. Well, on the Saturday that we're supposed to go to the Amalfi Coast, the day I planned on proposing, right when we got to the Amalfi Coast, he said he wanted to go to the Vatican before we left Rome. And I thought, okay, on a Saturday, great. This is going to be a disaster, but let's try this.
God, be careful. Got the Vatican, you know? Two guys got the Vatican.
on a Saturday, it's so busy there. So I said, whatever. So we get over to the Vatican, and someone says it's about a 2-hour wait to get in. And I was like, oh, they always exaggerate, you know, don't worry about it. So we get in line, and, you know, all week it's supposed to rain. It didn't. It was beautiful. This day, it was supposed to be a beautiful sunny day. We finally left our umbrellas at home. It starts downpouring.
Oh, no way.
So we are sitting in this line. It is downpouring on us. We have got no protection. He's got this expensive camera. We had to buy a 10-euro poncho just to wrap around the camera so that we didn't break. You know, and I all of a sudden have to start peeing. I have to pee. And now I'm like, you know, dancing. I got to pee. I can't get out of this line because I do not want to lose my spot. And Garrett's starting to get hungry. And I'm waiting. And it's taking like an hour. And I thought, oh my gosh, we can't miss this train because right now we don't have a place to stay in Rome. We have a place down in Salerno in the Amalfi Coast. And the train's a few hundred euro. If I miss this, this is like $1,000 I'm losing. And we have nowhere to stay. Like, I cannot miss. It's the last train of the day. I can't miss this train. So we're waiting. And I've got to pee so badly. And we're waiting. And finally, it's been 2.5 hours. We are 3 people from the front of the line. And Garrett said, it's not worth paying for. We're going to be in there for 15 minutes. Let's just get out of line. So after 2.5 hours being soaking wet, having to pee so badly, we get out of this line.
Oh, no.
And so I said, all right, let's just go to a restaurant. We'll see if we can pee somewhere quickly and we can grab something to eat and we'll head over to the train station and just get down there. Well, this is touristy Italy, you know, by the Vatican. Yep, people can be a little bit persnickety in particular, some of these restaurant owners. And so, you know, it was like 12:30. Nobody was opening until 1. And I was like, please just let me pee. Just like, I don't care about food. Nobody will let me, you know, pee. And there's no alleys around here to go to. Like, it's the middle of the area. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Screw it. I'll hold it. We're going to get back to the metro. We're going to, you know, go take our train back and we'll just check out and go down to Salerno. And so I go over to the metro and there are people standing in the rain all outside. And so I asked someone in Italian, you know, what's going on over here? And they said, oh, there's a delay between these stops. The only stops we need. So I thought, great. So we can't even take the metro home now. So I said, all right, we're going to walk home from here and we're going to speed walk home and try to make it. And so at this point, still downpouring and, you know, over by where the Vatican is, the Tiber River turns a few times. So it can be easy to forget where you are, which side of the river you're on.
Yeah.
So we've got this map. The map is disintegrating from the rain. We're trying to read the street signs, which are etched into the building in Roman letters, and the rain is pouring so hard we can't read the street signs. Long story short, the bridge we wanted went one way. The bridge we took went the other way. We are now further away in Rome trying to get back to this hotel. And I have to pee so badly. There's no alleys. I just want to pee. And I'm just thinking like, fuck, I'm not proposing today. Like, fuck this. I put so much into this. I'm not doing this. Like, this is a waste of a day. It's the worst day. I'm not proposing today.
Proper hissy fit. Proper going hissy fit. Chilled.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. And like, I can't let him know why I'm so upset. And I have to pee so bad. I can't sit still. He's getting hangry. He's just hungry. He wants to eat. We start bickering. And I think this is a disaster. I'm not proposing and wasting my one shot on this. This is a disaster. So, you know, in the midst of this, I remembered that, well, I didn't remember at the time, but a friend before I left, she told me, she's Hindu, and she said, I think you should pray to the Hindu god Ganesha, the elephant-like god.
Yeah, yeah.
She said, you know, this god, it's the placer and, you know, remover of obstacles, the guardian of thresholds. I just feel like it's a good god for you when you're, you know, going to be proposing. So I said, okay, whatever. And I did a prayer. She sent me. Well, anyway. At this moment, we're bickering, and I'm like, what the hell? Why is this happening? I look up, and there's a mural of Ganesha in the middle of Rome. And I think, okay, all right.
That's a good sign.
Obstacles are here for a reason. Like, pay attention, Mike. So we start kind of, I remember this piazza. He remembers that one. Long story short, we find our way back. We work together as a team. We run upstairs. We pee. Don't have time to eat. I grab a power bar, and we, you know, go down to the metro. Now, we get to the metro. I go through the turnstile. Garrett goes to go through, and he's like, oh shit, it was in my front pocket. It's disintegrated now. Like my, and it's a weekly pass we paid for. I can't get back through because I have a weekly pass. So I'm like, oh my God, it's a Saturday. You're an American in this busy Rome place. No one's going to help you. Like, nope. I'm yelling to you, like, how to get the machine to go from Italian to English so that he can order another ticket. And so I'm trying to scream at him. He finally figures it out. He puts it in the turnstile. It doesn't work. I'm like, Garrett, we have like one more shot at this. Like, do it again. Try to get that ticket. He finally buys another one. It works. So we get on the metro. We go to Roma Termini, the main train station in Rome. And I'm like, all right, Garrett, you watch this sign. That's where it's going to tell you the platform. I'm just going to go around and make sure what we printed out is enough or if I need to exchange it for a ticket.
Right.
So I come back and there's like 2 minutes till our train leaves and there's nothing posted. And he starts freaking out. And I said, all right. Like, it would say if it's delayed, it's not delayed. We've just got to go through security and run up and down all like 30 trains and try to find our train. That's our only option at this point. So I go through security. We run up and down all 30 trains. We cannot find the train. I'm freaking out. So I run over and we've got all of our bags, everything. I run over to an attendant. I was like, listen, you call it in. He's like, no, you're confused. I'm not confused. I know which train. Call it in, please. Which track is it? And he said, oh my God, your train's leaving in less than a minute. Run. So we have all of our bags. We have everything on us. I mean, I'm pouring in sweat. I'm hungry. I'm tired. We are sprinting. I kid you not. This is not an exaggeration. It was like a scene from a movie. We jump off the platform onto a train, and within 10 seconds, the train takes off.
God.
Now I am like sweating. I am miserable. And all I can think is, fuck this. I'm not proposing today. I'm hating life. Right? Like, this is ridiculous. I spent months. I spent thousands of dollars. I put so much into this. I'm not wasting it today.
Yeah.
And then Garrett turned to me as the train took off and he said, you know, it's so weird. For everything that went wrong today, you would have thought we would have turned on each other and fought, but we didn't really. We worked together as a team. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that's nice.
And I thought, shit, now I have to propose today. So we take this train. It's 3 hours now. We take the train. I put his watch in my raincoat because God knows it's still raining.
Yeah.
And we get over there and we've got to walk a mile from the train station to the hotel. Now it's only drizzling at this point, but still it's miserable.
Still, yes.
And we finally check into this hotel. And at this point, like, I had a whole speech prepared, gone. I had to throw that out. Like, everything has just gone to shit. And I just said, I'm just going to wing it at this point. So we get to the hotel. And we check in and I'm like, hey, do you want to go check out the balcony? Who in their right mind would want to check out the balcony in this rain? But nonetheless, Garrett was like, yeah, I guess. So we go out to this balcony and I say, hey, go check out that castle that you obviously can't see through the fog. And so he turns around to look at this castle and I get down on one knee and I just figure I've got to wing this. I got to say something. And so he turns back around and I said, you know what, Garrett? I won't lie. This morning I woke up and I planned on proposing to you. And then everything went to shit. Everything went to shit. Everything that could have went wrong went wrong. And I thought, fuck this. I'm not proposing to you. I'm not wasting my one shot at this. I've spent months of planning. I've spent thousands of dollars. I'm not wasting my one shot at this on today. This is shit. Like, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. But then we started working together as a team. And I realized I don't just have one shot at this. I have a million shots at this. Because every day for the rest of my life, I'm just waking up. I'm asking myself if I'm still game to do this. And I'm asking you to love me. Today is just one of those days. So I brought you to the most beautiful place that I know that could potentially rival your beauty to ask you, will you marry me?
And you came off that off the top of your head.
Well, I'm a writer, okay? So, you know, it's in there somewhere.
I need to keep you on file just in case I need to do something. I'll be fine. Mike, what can I say in this situation? Well, you need to do this. You need to do this.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful. And he said yes.
He said yes. And then I showed him a picture of me and his mom that was date stamped of the time they asked for the blessing. And it said Cheryl approved with a big stamp on it.
And so, just in case. I told you, there you go. There's your family's approval just in case you were worried. Oh my God, that is amazing. That's such an awesome story. It's obviously from something that started great. Everything's going to plan and just went to shit and then obviously came back. And it really kind of shows you really about in life. I'm getting probably a little bit deep now, but it just shows you in life, it doesn't matter how you actually get there, but as long as you get there, things will come. If things are meant to be, it will come to fruition sort of thing, you know? And I think obviously from your experience, that obviously made that sort of like kind of story real sort of thing.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's life, right? Like that's a real relationship. I mean, we want, you know, if we have kids, 4 a.m. screaming babies and money concerns and fights, like I don't want this kind of picture perfect, fake, only the day of the wedding thing. I want a real life together. That's what we're signing up for.
Yeah.
And I think that was our theme for our wedding because we really wanted, like even the song we walked down the aisle to was about, you know, the heaven and hell of this relationship. Like we want all of it because I'm signing up for a partnership where I get to grow and adventure with you. And I think I didn't plan any of that. I can't take credit for that story because I wouldn't have made it happen that way if I could control it. But that's what life is, right? The best stories we have are when we're just living, when we're really the challenges, the triumphs and traumas together.
And a lot of people don't understand that. They don't see it. You know, when they're going through their certain life, the stories that we do tell them how they do it, they just see it as them. But from someone else looking in, they'd be like, oh my God, that is the best. That's funny. That's great. That's fantastic. Why are you not noticing that? Because they're too busy, focused, straight down the middle. They don't actually open their eyes and see the whole picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, everything sounds more glamorous in retrospect. So believe me, I've had my freakouts and shit fits and all that stuff. Like none of this was easy for me. But you know, I think you go through enough things that eventually you can kind of trust, like, I know what I'm doing. And so my work, you know, what I really do is help people to map all these experiences of their life and figure out in every moment of success, there's a lever you're pulling. There's something you're doing that's kind of the marker of success. And I've kind of found that what I'm really interested in life is hearing people's stories and realizing, hey, there's a pattern. Every time you're successful, certain things you do. Every time you're not successful, certain things you do. And even looking at my own story in retrospect, I can see exactly where those things were happening, why some things worked out and others didn't. And I think it's beautiful that like, our lives are just data. We have no moment of our life has been wasted. We have such rich data of everything. We just have to map it. We just have to realize that, hey, wait a minute, there's something going on here about my passions and my formula for success and where I'm fulfilled. And it's the same thing over and over again. And I just got to map that.
You just got to kind of hone in. How did you hone in what your formula was?
Oh gosh. So here's a story for you, right? So I was sick, right?
Have I opened the floodgates again?
Yeah, always. So, you know, I was sick. I left my job and I worked in public relations. And like I said, I worked with some, you know, bigger name companies and people, and I didn't really think much about why I was so successful. But when I left my job, I was kind of a health coach and herbalist to a lot of the tech entrepreneurs because I knew them in Boston. I thought, well, I was sick. I can help them not be sick. And then, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money and I didn't even love it. I didn't love this work. So I thought, well, I'm going to start writing about my experiences because I have some stories to tell, clearly. And so I wrote some stuff on my blog, and a publisher reached out to me and said, can I offer you a book deal? Just sight unseen. I didn't write a proposal or anything. And so I said, sure. So I wrote that book, you know, I got an advance and I did a little book tour and I hated it. The book's good, but I hated the book tour. I hated, like, it just wasn't. And I thought, Mike, you're never going to know your purpose. You are selfish. You're spoiled. You're a mess. You're all over the place. Like, you're never going to figure this shit out. And so I went back and I have read every purpose book you can imagine. Yeah. I've read every, you know, done every webinar, like you name it. I was there trying to figure it out. And so I went back to the drawing board and I thought, okay, what are my skills? What does the world need? What's that middle point, right? How can I help? And I thought, oh my God, I am so dumb. It's so obvious. It's been in front of me the whole time. I meant to create a blogging course. And this blogging course isn't just going to be about getting book deals. It's going to be that, but it's going to be deep. It's going to be spiritual. It's going to be about finding your voice, all this stuff, making your contribution. And so I had no money by the end of this year, right? Like, I sold my shares. I'd been a failing health coach. My book, after that, I didn't do anything. So like, I was running out of money. But I thought, if you know your purpose, you got to put everything into it, right? You got to go pro and just go for it. And so I put, you know, I got the fancy lighting kit. I got the microphone. I got the business partner and marketing person and web designer and all this stuff, editing software, whatever. Put everything, every penny I had into it. I put it out into the world. Crickets. I think 5 people bought this thing. Huge, colossal failure. I lost all of my money. I was done. And so I thought, this is so embarrassing. After a year, I'm going to have to go back to my own company and beg my partners to take me back because I don't have a job. I have no way of making money. Like, I am a failure and I'm done. Like, I'm so done. I can't keep doing this. I can't be an entrepreneur anymore. And so I went into a Facebook group I was a part of and I thought, I'm going to host a failure celebration. And really it was just to like flip it and say, hey, at least I did some cool stuff this year. I want to celebrate something. And to have this failure celebration, what I did was offered 6 branding sessions to some of the entrepreneurs in there because stuff I did in PR because I wasn't successful, but maybe they could be. And so I offered these 6 sessions. It was all day long, back to back to back. I kid you not. I had to stop sessions to pee. Like, I was just like, I'm giving it all because tomorrow I'm going to go beg people to take me back. And
was that all? Were you just giving that away for free sort of thing?
Just free. Just give it all away. Wow. Like, this is my celebration.
It's like thousands of pounds worth of knowledge coming out for nothing. No wonder you were busy.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of like, I'm so done. And I got to feel like I have something to give the world. And so, you know, I'm used to working with a lot of these tech entrepreneurs and tech executives and healthcare politicians. But these people were artists and therapists and entrepreneurs and life coaches and writers and healers and all types of cool people. Mm. And every single one of them said to me, Mike, you didn't just tell me my brand. You explained to me my life purpose in a way I've never seen before. Like, it answers every question I have. And so this is one of those moments you don't quite forget. Cause I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what are you kidding me? Like, what are you talking about? I'm giving you branding. This is just branding work I did in PR. This is nothing. And you're trying to tell me I've told you my purpose. So, or your purpose. So I was exhausted, obviously, after 6 hours of this. But I, that night, spent 2 hours doing the same process on myself. And I came up with 6 words. And these words are aligned, zany, free, unmistakable, successful, and vulnerable. And like that, it was just so obvious. Like, why I didn't like the book, but why I liked blogging. Why health coaching didn't work. Why the blogging course failed. You know, why, you know, now looking back, why my relationship worked in this way, what happened in my engagement story. I mean, there were so many pieces, like even talking about that Ganesha, like alignment. Every moment of my life has had some aspect of spiritual alignment, of deep vulnerability. I couldn't have the perfect speech for Garrett. It had to be the super vulnerable, you know, like everything has gone to shit. You know, I'm always going to be loud and zany and out of control. And that's what's made me successful in every moment. It wasn't that I was smart at PR, which fine. It was that I was fun and brought life to people and made them feel alive. Like every moment just came into crystal clarity. I know what levers I pull because I know who I am and I know what I want to feel. And so from that moment, you know, the next day, one of these 6 people I gave a free session to said, hey, Mike, you know, my friends want to buy this. What do you call it? I don't know. Like, it's branding, but it's sacred, I guess. I'll call it sacred branding. Slap that word on, called it that. The next day I was open for business. Through word of mouth, it grew. I was full up within a few weeks. And 7 years later, here I am. Like, we've been doing it. And so that process, which was, I thought, branding, has refined so much over time. But basically, it's just going through someone's lived experience. I mean, we can do a demo here if you want.
Go for it.
Going through someone's lived experience and mapping what they're doing in every moment of success and fulfillment.
Wow, that's such so powerful. So powerful. When you think about it in that sort of aspect, that's just like, holy crap. It's just, I'm sitting thinking now. It's just kind of, I'm trying to kind of work in my head about that sort of process and that. And it's just like, holy shit, he's got some here. No wonder you've been gone for 6 years. And it's funny the way it just kind of molded together, like the way it did, you know? Yeah. And that's fascinating as well. It just seems as if it was like meant to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, like I said, everything is glamorous in retrospect, but the thing is, we've all always been doing our thing, right? You know, like the big myth about purpose or branding is that it's all about, you know, achievable or aspirational. Yeah. People will say like, oh, Mike, my purpose is to write a book or be a life coach or have a podcast. And that's awesome. But here's the thing. If you can achieve something, it means you can fail it. And we know, because I thought it was a huge failure, that you can't fail your purpose. That doesn't make sense. If you can achieve it, it also means you didn't have it at a certain point. So did you just not have a purpose as a baby? That doesn't make sense either. Of course you did. And your purpose isn't just about work. It's about relationships. It's about the way you get dressed in the morning. It's about your trauma and healing. It's about hanging out with friends. It's about being at home. It's the way you dress. Like, everything of your life has purpose. Obviously, you have a brand. You have a way of being a friend, a way of sex, a way of everything in your life is your unique brand. And when we understand this, we know what's so magnetic about us, what makes us one of a kind. And I will tell you with absolute confidence, like, it's shocking how much this has changed me. So, you know, you can use this work for anything. So I didn't always feel empowered about my body. I didn't feel like I was really confident in my body. And one day I was kind of like, hey, Mike, you do this work. Like, you know, step up. You've got this. So I said, all right, what do I want to do with my body that makes me feel vulnerable and zany and free? Well, duh, dance naked in front of the mirror. And so every day for a year, I danced naked in front of the mirror before I got in the shower. So for 2 minutes, you know, I'd put it on while I was heating up. I would dance naked because that's really zany. I was free. I was, you know, vulnerable. And I did it every day for a year. By the end of that year, I scheduled my first boudoir photo shoot. Never thought I would do something like that. And I thought, you know, I got this photo shoot done and I was like, all right, this is just for me and my husband, like very, very private. The moment I got those photos, oh, my mom was seeing them. They were on the internet. Like, I didn't give a shit. Anybody can see this stuff. I felt so confident and good about myself and in my body, because when I know those levers, when I know my sensitivities or the things that make me feel like myself, all we got to do is lean into that. And whether we're talking about trauma, substance abuse, you know, we've seen people use work for a million things, divorce, building a business, you know, love, whatever you want to use it for. It's really just tapping into who you actually are.
Jesus Christ. I think my mind's just been blown. I'm just like, holy shit. This is fantastic.
Well, if you want, we can play a little bit. I mean, I'm going to have to put you on the spot, but I can ask you some questions and try it. It's my very shoddy version, but I can help you out.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? Let's give the listeners something to kind of get into. Go for it. Let's do it.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, and if anyone listening wants their own free version, we have one at mikeimeli.com/map. It's only 36 minutes.
Cheap plug.
You grab that for free.
But cheap plug.
That's right. Well, why not? Why wouldn't you want this for free? Of course you would. So no, but if you're listening here with what I'm doing with Ryan and you are interested in it, there's a worksheet over there and it's free. MikeIMLE.com/map. I am giving my cheap plug right there.
Go for it.
But yeah. So, all right. So I'm going to ask you, Ryan, to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think of three jobs you've had, and they can be, you know, podcasting. They can be back since high school. They can be, you know, something, anything, could be any job you've had. So I want you to come up with three in your mind.
Yep.
And I want you to tell me about the first one and tell me three things you made people feel in that job. So did you help people to feel welcome? Did you help them to feel safe or supported or connected? Just give me one of those jobs and three things you made people feel.
Just any one of them.
Anyone, doesn't matter.
Anyone? Would probably be business owner, recruitment business owner.
All right. And what did you make people feel? Like, what were you doing?
I was getting people jobs, really, to be fair. I was just headhunting people, getting them jobs sort of thing. So I'd like to make people happy by giving them jobs.
Okay.
That's obviously a good one. Trying to be like an authority sort of person, just to kind of, for people to come across and people to talk to. And I don't know about the third one, really. I don't know if there is a third one.
Did you help them to feel kind of secure? That they, you know, did they help them to feel professional? Did you help them to feel, you
know? Professional, yeah. To make them feel professional, good about themselves so they can move on and to better themselves at a different job.
Okay, cool. So happy, authority, and professional. Awesome. All right, give me another job and give me three things you made people feel.
It was probably when I was in the Air Force. And okay. Royal Air Force, it was there. So I was there again. I was a logistics professional in there. So it was literally being reliable, because obviously the job that we're in is being reliable, being dependable as well. Obviously, part of the military, you have to have that. Mm-hmm. And again, just kind of being part of the team, being a stringent part of the team, so making people feel like kind of that they can, as I say, like kind of do the business with me, sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. So maybe like connected to you, maybe?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, give me one more job and three things you make people feel.
Ooh, I want to go podcaster because I like this as a job. Yeah. I'm going to feel this as a job.
Why of course it is.
So a podcast, I want to entertain. I want people to make them feel happy again. I want to make them feel like kind of inspired, if that makes sense, as well. Mm-hmm. I want to make them feel inspired about what they're listening to, with the people I've got on. And then I just, I want them to do something similar. You know, that's obviously inspired, but I just really want confidence as well. I want people to feel confident and bring that out of them, sort of thing, you know?
For sure. Awesome. Beautiful. All right. So now I want you to close your eyes again, and I want you to think of one of the most challenging or frustrating moments of your life that doesn't feel re-traumatizing to think about, but a moment that was really like just a bad moment, challenging moment, a frustrating moment. And you can tell me about it if you want. You don't have to tell me.
That's right. So I'm not straight away. It's when the business failed. My business failed. Okay. In the space of a day, my business failed. My relationship failed. And I lost everything in one day.
Wow. And so tell me three things you felt on that day.
Frustration.
Yeah.
Because I knew I could have done better. I knew what to do, but I just didn't do it, if that made sense. You know, I just didn't have that. So I was too proud to admit that I needed help, and I needed help from external, but I knew I could do it. I just didn't want to put the work in.
Yeah. And anything else? Two more things that you felt that day?
Probably a bit ashamed, really, as well, to be fair. Yeah. I was a bit ashamed. Yeah. Obviously, nobody wants to tell me you're a failed business owner, as you know. You know, it's just what it is.
Yeah, no, I believe me, I know it. Yeah.
And I was obviously upset about it, to be fair. There was a lot of regret doing it from the rest of them.
So, you know, if you weren't feeling, you know, frustrated, ashamed, and regretful, what do you think you would have rather felt? Like, if you had a magic wand and you could have made yourself feel something different, what would you have wanted to feel that day?
Probably enthusiastic, you know, and not to be like more confident to stand up in what you believed and what you wanted, and more determined as well.
Determined
to get myself up and say, no, you're going to do this sort of thing, you know, instead of bending over backwards.
Awesome. Oh, you're doing awesome. This is so great. All right. One more question then I promise you I'll let you go and I'll start telling you what I'm doing. So the last one, I want you to close your eyes one final time.
Go for it.
And I want to flip it. And I want you to think of one of the happiest, most successful moments of your life. Just something that feels really good and happy. Mm. And tell me a little bit about it and three things you felt in that moment.
I was probably when my daughter was born. Would you class that one? Yeah. When my daughter was born, really, to be fair. And that was obviously happiness there. I was very obviously proud.
Yeah.
Obviously to be that, because I never thought I would be a dad, to be fair. I never thought I was capable of being a father sort of thing. Yeah. But then it was nervous. I was very nervous at the same time, because it's like, right, I've got a little one to look after and I now have to kind of step up.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing all that with me.
That's right.
You know, I know I put you on the spot there, but you know, one thing, what we're doing is we're just noticing language and words you used. I mean, the word happy came up a bunch of times. The word confident came up a bunch of times. You know, you talked about things that were similar, like proud and responsible, dependable, reliable. So we're going to group that in some type of category, or professional, right? You said that too. So all of those are somewhere. So let's say we use the word, you know, reliable. So things we notice about your life is that I'm going to guess in the happiest, most successful moments of your life, you felt some type of responsible, happy, connected, you know, confident energy. And in the moments that didn't feel so good, like maybe this business failure, you felt the opposite, whatever that means to you, the opposite of confident, the opposite of reliable, the opposite of happy, the opposite of connected. And so this is a shoddy version, but what we're doing here is we now have an idea of, okay, this is a reliable, predictable formula for you. So in a relationship, I hope that your new girlfriend, you feel a lot of these things. You feel like, oh, she's reliable. Oh, I feel confident around her. I feel really happy. That will tell you every single time that that's a good relationship. Now, what you're doing with podcast guests, well, you've got, yeah, you got your fancy mic and everything. You've got a very professional, reliable, you know, setup going on here. You help people to feel, you know, guests to feel confident. You help them to feel happy. You help listeners to feel happy. You're sharing tips for people to feel more confident, happy, and connected. You're creating connection. Anytime that you put yourself in a space like that, you will be successful. You're giving yourself the best odds of success. It's kind of like, I always say, it's kind of like shooting darts in the dark. Like right. Most of us go through life shooting darts in the dark. And once in a while, we have a miracle and we hit the bullseye, right? But even if we hit that bullseye, we have no idea what we did or how to repeat it. We have no idea. Like, it's just like, oh, that worked out. When we look at all of our lived experience, what we're doing is we're mapping every time we've actually hit the bullseye and we're turning on the light, just like, oh, this is what I did. This is how I did it. And so I can't tell you with certainty that if you are, you know, confident and happy and connected and reliable, that you will always be know how to be successful, but you can practice. Now you know what it takes. So it's not like today, tomorrow you're just gonna be the most successful person, but you're gonna say, oh, my brand has got to bring those things in. So everything I do is going to show that, from the colors of my website, from the words, from the way I speak on other podcasts, from the way I interview people. Because we entrepreneurs, we always want buy-in 1,000 times, right? Mm. You want people to like your podcast episode, like your website, like your sales offering, like your whatever. And it's fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
And if you, if it's all built on the same energy, we need buy-in 1 time. Either they resonate or they don't. Because they like your podcast, cool. They come back to your website, it feels the same. They come back to your, you know, sales page, it feels the same. Doesn't mean they're going to buy right away, but it means that if they resonate, they're going to keep resonating, because you know why they're resonating. You know what you offer that no one else can. And that's not just there, that's in sex. That's in the way you dress. That's in like, it. I teach classes on discover your brand in bed. So fun to help people realize, like, no one can have sex the way you can. You do something completely different. So when you tap into that and know what it, and know how to ask for what you need in the bedroom, changes everything.
Wow. God, you make it blow my mind tonight. This is amazing. This is, I completely relate to it when you've got everything lined up in the same sort of like kind of format, because as you mentioned before, they go to the podcast, then they go to the website, then they go to yours, and everything's there. You see that sort of trend going on. And you do become a little bit more like a, like I would say, people want to come back to you because you see that. Instead of having like one's here, one's over here, and it's just a big mess that just chucked out there, you don't see, it doesn't come across well, does it?
Totally. And you know the thing they're looking for. You know, like for me, people like my vulnerability. People like my weird zaniness, stories, crazy, right? I know that. And I'm not, you know, ashamed to claim that, because we all should. That's the thing that makes us magnetic. And here's the cool thing. I love doing this. So let's say you ask me a question. I don't know the answer to it, right? You say to me, you know, Mike, what's the future of business with COVID and everything? I'm kind of like, oh shit, I don't know what to say. Right. So here's what I can do. I say, all right, well, if I'm vulnerable and zany and all those things, that's all people want from me. That's the best gift I can give people. So I say, you know what, Ryan? I'm going to be vulnerable with you right now. I have no idea where business is going. Things are changing. Everything's in flux. I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is that aligning with yourself will always be the best solution for success. When we align with our vulnerabilities, our zaniness, the things that are weird and different, the unmistakable things that no one else can be, that's what frees us to be successful. That's what makes us one of a kind. And that will always be a good solution. So I talk about mapping sensitivities, because when you align with who you are, that's the best path for success. Now, all I did there was say my 6 words and throw some ands and buts in there. But no matter what, if I follow that, that's the best answer I can give, because that's most honest about me. And my lived experience proves that. So it's so fun, because people will use that to like speak on interviews. They'll write copy. They'll do whatever. I don't really care what you do, but all you're doing is coming back to who you are and what's different and unique in your own genius.
Fantastic. That's a great way of putting it, to be fair. I love that. I love that. God, that's brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. So, Mike, we've been going on for a bit of time now, so I think we're going to wrap it up. But yeah, I definitely think we've only just scratched the surface on all this, to be quite honest with you. Mike, I'd love to have you on again further down the road, to kind of catch up, hear more of your stories, because as I say, your storytelling's absolutely on point. It's fantastic. And so where can people reach you? Where can people get to you?
Of course. Well, we already know that MikeIamelli.com/map. Go get your 36-minute training and worksheet and all that. But you can go hang out over there. And then, of course, you know, you can email me from there. I'm on Instagram, wherever.
No problems. No problems. Obviously, if you have guys listen, all the details for Mike is on below the description. So click on it. Click on his, obviously, his website. And you've heard a little taster of what he can do. And if you're as blown away as I am, I'm sure you're going to be more impressed when you go into his website and see what's going on. So, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for this. We definitely need to have a catch up soon. And it's been fantastic.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Ryan.